tell you, I love you, William. It's amazing how we can be raised in totally different places in life and look totally different but have a similar heart. Thank you for leading out. And the whole team was great praise and worship, and I feel like I've been worshiping the Lord already. I love this time of year. I love this time of year just to focus in on thanking God for all that he does for us and how much he's given to us. I don't know about you, but I just love the colors outside, the leaves. I like the cooler weather. I like the smells you smell, especially homemade pumpkin pie and things like that. How many, by the way, ate too much on Thanksgiving? Yeah, go ahead and raise your hand. I like Thanksgiving because it's not like Christmas. Christmas has become so commercialized. There's, you know, you're always worrying about buying something, and everybody's at the stores, and it's crowded and all that, but it's different. Thanksgiving is different, and I love this time. I love to get around the table. We gather around the table as a family. Isn't there something special about that? We're so busy, but we slow down. Did you slow down and thank the Lord around the table? Or did you grab the meal, got to go watch the football game? I love this time of year. I love the time to reflect on how God is, how good he's been in our life, what he's done for us. I love when we ask, what are you thankful for? And I love when the kids say what they're thankful for, because you never know what's coming out of their mouths. You know, this year might have been a good year for you. A lot to praise the Lord for. I recognize that with William. A lot to thank the Lord for, a lot to praise him for. But I also know, and I was wondering why Ron was a little heavy. I was wondering why he wasn't the normal Ron, you know, saying hi and all that. I could tell there was a heaviness, and it's amazing. Some people have been through a really tough, tough year. And some of you have even lost. This is the first Thanksgiving without a spouse. And I know there's some in our church family, and that makes Thanksgiving hard. But even in the difficult times, and Ron mentioned it, we can find blessings. And we can thank the Lord even when things aren't right. Even when things are difficult, we can find something to praise the Lord for. Let's pray. Lord God, we are just going to continue to worship you and praise you. And thank you because you are so worthy of our worship and praise. We have so much to praise you for today. And Lord, as we think about praise and worship, God, may you bless each heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's a little different. There you are. Where would she go? Anyway, today's going to be a little different. My wife and I, by the way, 25 years ago on Thanksgiving weekend, met 25 years ago. And so we decided we're gonna do this a little different today, and so
bear with us. We've actually never done this like this before, so
it's amazing.
Well, I remember it was almost 20. Well, actually, it was a little more than 20 years ago. We were just finishing up at seminary. I was doing my undergrad, and he had finished, and we stayed there to work with Mark and Tini Finley for about 10 months. So we had bought this trailer because we couldn't live in campus housing anymore. We'd bought this trailer, and we were parked on this lady's property. And she was a widow. Her husband had died suddenly not too long before. And so she needed somebody to kind of help out around the place and do some of the things that he was not there to do anymore. And I remember as we would visit with her, she unfolded the story to us, how he'd been a farmer, and he'd been out in the field, and he had some kind of accident with his tractor. I don't remember all the details, but it was terrible, and she'd gotten the call from a friend who had been out there, and she came running, and they tried everything they could to save him, and there was nothing that could be done. And she told me, she said, I've just been so angry with God. Why would he allow my husband to die? Here he was, he finally retired, and we're having a better time in life. Why now? Why ever? And she said, she started going to this grief recovery class, and she was just angry. She said, comes Thanksgiving time, and she told them at the grief recovery, she said, I don't have anything to be thankful for. There's nothing. I don't have anything to be thankful for. My life is lonely. I'm home by myself. I'm it's miserable. I don't have anything to be thankful for. And the lady kept prodding her, and she said, are you sure there's nothing that you can be thankful for this year? Nothing? And she started thinking and thinking, and others in the group were talking about some of the things they were thankful for. And suddenly she got a little grin, and she thought, wait a minute. She said, yeah, there is one thing I can be thankful for. I don't have to watch Monday Night Football anymore.
You know, there was a family that was driving along. It was holiday season, you know, as you get all packed up. And they were traveling on I-75 with their station wagon. It's packed with all the presents and all this stuff. And this is actually Christmas time. But as they call this their Thanksgiving because it was before Christmas. But as they were traveling along about a 400-mile trip, they were cruising along, all of a sudden they hit some debris in the road, and it was, I don't know if you've ever hit something like this, but I mean literally a loud bang and noise and all of that, and they were just amazed. Now, the point of the story is before they left, they had earnest prayer that God would protect them, but they didn't know how. And so they hit this debris, and things continue on, and it seems like there's no damage, and they continue on, at least they thought. And they finally pull off miles up ahead off the freeway to get some fuel. And just as they get on the off-ramp, all of a sudden, they've flopping going around on the front of the car. And sure enough, both of the tires were sliced. And they went flat right as they got off the freeway. They were doing 70-plus miles an hour along the freeway there on I-75. And so they got off, and they go to the gas station. And it just so happens they get there. And there's a tow truck there. There's a repair shop there. Everything they need is right there. Now, they tell them that we could have complained because we had to replace both tires. But they said what we were thankful for is God's watch care, that he answered our prayer, that he protected us. We could have blown, the tires could have blown at 75, 80. We could be dead right now. But God was there and blessed us. You know, Dave, I'm thankful too, by the way, because you know, I have a cold. I haven't had a cold in over a year. So, by the way, I haven't been shaking hands. But I got this cold today. But you know what? I can still be up here and praise the Lord.
And it reminds you how great it is to not have a cold, right?
It is so easy to look at what is bad in our life and not what is good. And Thanksgiving is a time we remember all the good, even in the bad. I don't understand why people have to go through the things they do. I don't know why, Ron and Cindy, you have to see that in your own personal family and experience that. I don't understand. But what I do know is God is a good God, and you even said in your prayer, God is going to make everything right. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't like that verse sometimes, but I trust God.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's a song that I've heard recently that I think is going to become popular. And it's the story of a family coming to dinner. And she's telling them to get ready, you know, wipe up, clean up, come sit down. They sit down, and then they offer thanks. And in the song it says, it's the strangest prayer, because in her prayer, she thanks God for noisy children and slamming doors, for clothes scattered all over the floor, a husband who comes home late and tired, and for dirty dishes. And after the prayer is over, the family looks at her like, and the husband says, are you okay? And she says, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just glad because noisy kids are happy ones. Slamming doors mean we live in a warm house. Husband tired, coming home late, and dirty dishes in the sink means you have a job and we have enough to eat. And it's just such a great song. Well, it goes along with this poem called I'm Thankful For. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I've had enough to eat. I'm thankful for my shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing and windows that need cleaning and gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for the spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I am capable of walking. I am thankful for my huge heating bill because it means I am warm. I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for the lady behind me in church who sings off key because it means I can hear. I'm thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because it means that I'm alive. I am thankful for the weariness of aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I've been productive.
It is amazing how much we really have in this country. You know, you think about the freedom we have. It's amazing.
You know, we are blessed. We've been, I know many of you have traveled to other countries, and you've seen that they don't enjoy the same freedoms that we do here. We are so blessed to live in America. We're so blessed to live in a country whose heritage was based on serving God and worshiping Him by the conscience, by the dictates of our own conscience.
I mean, how much thankful for freedom today? How much thankful that we can be here in freedom? I mean, I know if I look out, there's a lot of countries represented in our church family. They went home, they couldn't worship like this. So I wore my tithe for the freedom that it represents.
I like that. That's great.
Yeah, there was a lady. She was in New York City, and she's up on this high ledge, and she wants to commit suicide, apparently. Well, they were trying to get her to come down, and nobody can seem to get her to come off the ledge. And finally, they got their best negotiator, happened to be a minister. And he goes up there, and he starts to talk to her, and he says, "I'm sorry that no one loves you." And she said, "Well, people love me. I'm sorry that you don't have anywhere to live. I got a place to live. I'm sorry that you haven't eaten in days. I have food to eat." This woman responded each time the pastor talked, she affirmed the blessings. "Then why are you committing suicide?" There was a brief moment of silence and contemplation, and the woman says, "I can't remember why," and she came off the ledge. The enemy is real, and he'll get you focused on negative and what is dark, and we forget the blessings that we have. You know, there's a powerful psalm of David in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. If you want to follow along there, we're just going to take some snippets of that psalm. But just a little context, you probably might remember the story, is the Ark of the Covenant has been gone from Jerusalem over 20 years. And you can imagine, this is a big deal, because David is bringing back this Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence of God, and he's going to bring it back, and they have singers and choirs, and everybody in Israel is there representing millions of people come to worship on that day. And David has written a song. It's actually a song that was sung, and he gives it to Aspod. And this is what it says.
On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore.
Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. You know, today we are spiritual Israel.
That's right, the chosen.
So we are the chosen ones. We are special. How many feel special today? Today, yes. So this psalm is actually written for us, the chosen people, his special people, the people of God, because we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, his own special people, that we might proclaim the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
You know what was amazing about that verse? I don't know if you noticed it, but there is an awful lot of verbs, a lot of things to do in that verse. Let's go back and look at it. It says, give thanks, a verb. Proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him. Sing to him praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exalt his name. Rejoice. Search for the Lord. Continually seek him. Remember the wonders and his miracles.
You know, it's incredible what God has done. I think it's appropriate for our church to praise the Lord.
Amen.
To tell the great things, the miracles God has done. Now, if you were here last Sabbath, what was last Sabbath like? Wasn't
man.
It amazing?
It was amazing. I don't know if you guys were here or not, but it was awesome. And I didn't get to come to every single one of the meetings, but I got to come last Sabbath morning. How many were you guys all here last Sabbath?
How many of you were here last Sabbath?
Wasn't that amazing to see people be baptized? I tell you, every night, I didn't get to be here because I was down with the kids, but every night the parents would come and they would say, oh, it was so good tonight. And they were telling me about it. And I was like, oh, I wish I could be in there. But Sabbath morning I was here and I saw these people being baptized and I heard their testimonies and it was powerful, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
It was incredible to hear that. I mean, God is at work in our church.
I love the Blanchards. Did you guys like Gary? Wasn't he amazing? Amazing, gifted man. And I'm just so thankful. I was revived. I got to tell you, I was revived by coming. And 10 days in a row, how can you come 10 days in a row, man? I'm missing it now. I wish I was going every night. It was just so powerful. I was revived.
Well, I thought it was great what William said. If you've missed the last two weeks, you've missed half your life.
Yeah, I love it. That's perspective.
That was great.
It was powerful. It was amazing. And, you know, the decision, the baptisms that happen, it's just exciting to be part of a church that's about doing God's work and about His business. You know, the Bible says here, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has done. Remember the wonders He has performed, His miracles. See, I know not everybody could be here, but I want all the people that are baptized, I want you to come up quickly here to the front who were baptized, who made a decision to follow Jesus, to commit their life fully to Jesus Christ. Just come up here and stand here for a moment. And if you just happen to miss, this is just a recap a little bit of how powerful, what God
Reader's
has done.
Reader's Digest version.
And so we had people making new commitments, recommitments to Christ. To give everything to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Isn't this exciting?
It was amazing. If you're here, you're... And are we missing some?
We are missing somebody.
Who are we missing?
Who are we missing today? Roger. Where's Roger? Come on, Roger.
Oh, there.
He's back there hiding.
I forgot somebody.
Well, you know, it was so amazing. To Saturday night, I was back there with the kids, and I so wanted to be in here after watching all of you be baptized, and it was so exciting. And I could hear little snippets of I'd go into the kitchen, and I could hear little snippets of the sermon being preached, and I could hear at the end as he made another altar call, and there were more decisions that were made, not just all of you who stand here, there were others.
I want all of you who made a decision to be baptized coming up to stand where you are, because I know some other baptisms coming
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
And I know, yes, back there, and Joseph Unipeg, where's Joseph? We had others, so you may be seated, but we're looking forward to those baptisms. There's others that are getting ready for that decision, but we'd like to welcome them into our church family. Who would like to welcome these people into our church family? Anybody?
Amen.
If you'd like to welcome, just raise your hand. Say amen.
Amen.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Welcome to our church family, and we're so thankful you are here, part of our church family. And you guys are going to make a huge difference in this church family for God.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Wait, except for Yvonne.
You can go ahead and be seated, except for one person.
Right here. Except for Yvonne.
We don't want to put you on the spot or anything.
But, you know, it was so great. How long has it been? About a month or two ago, Brent and I happened to be at Panera Bread, and we were having lunch with a friend. And while we were waiting for her to come, Yvonne comes over and starts talking to us, and she says, I don't know if you know me, she said, but I've been coming to your church. And she began to share with us her story. And if you were here last Saturday evening, you got the privilege of seeing Yvonne be baptized. But last Sabbath, during the worship service, I was sitting over here, as I'm accustomed to do. I like to be front and center and look them in the eye, make sure they're telling me the truth. It's just my comfort zone. And I heard Kathy behind me. And I saw you looking at all the people being baptized. And I saw the tears in her eyes. And Kathy gives her a squeeze and she says, you know what? I bet they're going to keep that water in the baptistry. You could still be baptized. Well, at the end of the baptism, Pastor Brent says the same thing. He says, you know what? We're going to leave this water in the baptistry in case the Lord is working and somebody else needs to be baptized tonight. Well, during the service, I get handed the connection card, and it's got Yvonne's name on it. And handwritten in, because I guess we don't have a spot for it. I guess we need to put it on there. It says rebaptism. Will you share with us a little bit of your story?
Well,
it's been a while since you've been here.
I know, a week.
No.
I don't remember the date, but it was the day that we had Dave Williams' memorial service here. And I've been a member of this church for years. I was baptized when I was 12, graduated from Thunderbird Academy. I was one of those Adventists, and what a friend of mine said to me this week was, you know, I was a Genesis Adventist. I never got past Genesis. You hear all the Bible stories your whole life. You know them by heart. Well, before the service started, Kathy's mother was playing songs that I'd heard my whole life. And I started praying, and I looked around, and I thought, I need to be here. Amen. What is wrong with me? So that Sabbath I came, and then I saw Pastor Brent. And I didn't know it until Gary's meeting started that he had gone home and called Ann Williams and told her that was because of Dave's memorial service that I came back to church.
Praise Amen. Him. I see Ann Praise and Bob Lord. Back there.
Amen.
But then I wasn't going to be baptized Saturday night.
No way.
He calls me in the middle of the afternoon. You're ready. I said, no, I don't think so. Well, bring your bathing suit just in case.
Sorry, evangelist.
And when I left the house, I still wasn't going to. But a situation happened when I left the house that made me know I had to take my stand now. Amen. And I called him, and I said, yes. And that was it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that amazing?
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Know?
Thank you. I just got to tell you, Steve, you noticed in the bullets. The bulletin that Steve was going to be baptized today, but he's going to wait for grandparents to be here so they can experience that as well.
Well, you know, it is incredible because it's amazing how God works. And Yvonne hadn't been to church in years, but when she sat here, she remembered, this is my church. I need to come back. You know, and that's how it is for each of us. No matter where we're at, God is always looking for us. He is never done. He is never done with us.
And, you know, and I just want to say this. Thank you for all of you. All of you that were participating, we had a lot of people working behind the scenes to make these meetings successful. And thank you for each one. We had a prayer team going on every night, praying
Amen.
Earnestly. That's where it begins. We had our fishermen ministers, a lot of people in our fishermen ministry that are trained to give Bible studies now in our church. And that's one of the big reasons why we had success in these meetings. It's everybody working together. It's Tom, it's John, it's all these hard workers, it's Gordon, it's Wade, it's Wade up there. All these people working hard, the greeters, the ushers, everybody, the people that do the meals, everybody. And I realize all these ministries for kids, everything's happening, but thank you for all the extra hard work during these meetings. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, and I even had some who came and helped me with the children's. Did you know that Tom Miller can actually even do a children's story?
Really?
Not just open and close the church and do everything else around here, but he even came and did that. I think even Kevin Hayshi helped me in there, which is amazing.
Well, you know, the Bible also talks about singing songs.
Yes.
And praising. So I'm going to ask the praise team because, you know, William, you wanted to sing some more, right? So you're going to come, they're going to sing another song because in this song that David was singing, remember, this is a song, and he says, sing to him, sing praises. I need the group to come up quickly. Sing praises to him. And we're going to do that now as we sing to the Lord.
Yes, in this psalm, it says twice, sing to the Lord. Sing all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation.
It's going to take a moment.
Have you guys learned the song already? Have you? No? So we have one more time to repeat, okay? So let's show our grateful in our heart that is full of gratitude to our Lord. How thankful I am. Guitar is coming. Okay, well, in the meantime, then I'm going to just, I forgot to tell.
That's fine. We got some time here.
Pastor, that, you know, I'm thankful also for you guys, you know, being patient with us, adopt us, you know, as part of this family. And now we've been almost 2 years, and it's such a blessing to be part of this church, you know. So I thank the Lord, you know. And even with our broken English, you know, we had guys being patient with us. So,
you know, when I saw his spirit, though, I asked you to be an elder. And I'm really glad you're one of our spiritual leaders in this church. And language, it doesn't bother me at all.
You know, Pastor, actually, I'm not dignified to be called this, but, you know, but when God calls us, you know, and actually he called me before, and I say no to him. You know, and I can't say him anymore, so no. You know, so when the pastor, you know, whoever call, you know, God is calling, and I can see he's calling, we need to be willing, you know, Amen. Despite whatever. You know, we just yes. present to him, God, use me. That's it. And yes. praise the Lord for that. Okay, so let's sing How Thankful I Am. And squish his cheeks and say, I love you, Lord. Only the first? Okay. Okay. First. So we're going to sing one strophe alone and then end the chorus twice. Okay?
Doesn't
Where's
matter.
Brandon?
Brandon.
Let's go.
Brandon. Let's go. Okay. How thankful I am.
Just as I was studying through this passage, I realized they stopped and they sang. He's saying, sing to the Lord. Sing praises to his name. And I love that song. And so we set that up. And
you know, one of the things that is great about the Bible, it isn't a book that you just read. It's a book that you do. And so as we were reading Sing, we thought it'd be appropriate to stop and sing.
We're going to skip down
yeah,
a little
we're
bit.
Losing time here, aren't we?
It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. One of the things in this psalm is sing praises to the Lord. Sing praises because of his salvation. We are the redeemed. And today, who are we really praising today? Our Savior, Jesus who came and died on a cross for us that we might have eternal life. That's what I love about this church, because we are about the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And you know, you don't have to have a crazy testimony that you left the Lord for years and years and years in order to give him thanks and to still love Jesus and to know that he is still my Savior. I didn't have the same experience that Brent did where, you know, I do remember, though, in academy thinking that the only way to have a testimony was to have to walk away from God for a while, and that that seemed to be the only ones who really seemed to have a walk with God. But I have found that that is not true. You can have a boring testimony and still love Jesus.
Amen. Towards the end of the chapter says, give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength.
Give to the Lord the glory. Do his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
And one of the ways we worship our God is by coming, bringing our tithes and our offerings, right? It is about that, and it's a sacrifice, but we make that commitment because we belong to God anyway. Everything belongs to God. We are his. We are his followers, his disciples. And so everything that we have is his. And God has promised that he will bless us.
Amen. You know, and it's interesting in the Bible times, whenever the house of God was in disrepair or whenever there was no house of God, the people came, they brought of what they had to build the house of the Lord or to bring it back to good repair. And it was a very important part of worship. They would bring what they had. And this year, I think a lot of you may remember last year, Janice fell in our parking lot and was injured. She got hurt, and we made some minor repairs to the parking lot. You want to expound on that?
Well, yeah, when we started looking at the parking lot, it's needed repair for a long time. It's needed to be redone for probably years. But we've been kind of just holding on, and we've been raising money. Last year, we had a big offering. And we are going to have another offering right now, and the deacons are going to pass out envelopes. We've been talking about this.
And
some of you have been praying about that.
They're also in the pews in front of you. But as well, the deacons have some, too.
See, we're looking into the parking lot, and it's really in bad shape. And we know we can't go more than about another year, so we're really hoping and praying that God will bring the funds together for next summer. And so if you'd like to give, go ahead and pass out those envelopes. And, you know, it's a way you can pledge, you can give cash, whatever it is to help. This is part of our church family. You know, this is the house of the Lord. And even the parking lot, it's not quite as glamorous as other ministries, but we need it done. And I hope that you'll pray about this. I hope you'll put something in for God.
You know, and it doesn't mean we're going to neglect any of the other ministries that we do here in the church, but it is important. It's part of our obligation to take care of the house of the Lord and to take care of the grounds that we have been given here. And so please put something in. If you weren't prepared to put something in today, you can make a pledge that you're going to be doing that this whole next year.
See, what has happened is, because of the economy, the price has come down a lot. And we can actually do this, the parking lot, for quite a bit less. So we are halfway there. We thought it was maybe $250,000, $270,000, but actually it's more like $190,000 to $200,000 now. And so it's coming down to do the whole job, but we have half of that already. And we just believe if we get another offering like last year that we'll be able to do it this next summer.
Are we going to take that right now?
And so we're going to take that offering. They're going to take an offering right now. And, of course, most of you have been praying about that, thinking about that already. And, you know, it's amazing. One of the things as we think about how much God has given us, you know, look at the world. I mean, how much of the world has almost nothing, and we are so blessed.
You know, it is amazing that statistics tell us that over 1.2 billion people in our world today survive on less than $1 a day, which is amazing. We're so blessed. We're so blessed to live in this country. I just want to tell you a short story. My mom, I believe that God is doing an amazing work in North America right now. You know, all over the world, God is working amazingly, but sometimes we don't see it here in North America as much, but in my folks' church, they've been doing evangelistic meetings at almost the same time that we've been doing. They started before us, but they ended the same day. Well, during those series of meetings, the pastor was the evangelist was talking to them again about giving of their tithes and their offerings. And she said, but, you know, I collect Social Security now, and I haven't been paying tithe on it because I'd been told that, you know, I paid tithe on that all those years, you know, and that was money that I had contributed in. And so she hadn't been paying tithe on that. And she said, well, how will I know? How will I know when I've reached the point at which now I'm getting more than I gave in? So she thought, you know what? There's no reason for me not to pay tithe on it again. And she thought, I'm just gonna do that. So last Sabbath, before the message, because she knew she was going to be busy, she took her check to one of the people who would be collecting that, and she said, I just want to get this in because I know I'm not going to be here for the offering. And she told the Lord, she said, you know, I don't get a lot of money now, but I'm going to give this to you, and I know I need to do that. And so she put that in, and she thought, well, that's great, you know.
You can pass the plates, by the way.
Yeah, you can pass those plates, just right on down. There you go. And so she puts in her tithe offering and she didn't really think too much about it. She gets home and she thought, oh, I'm just going to go pick up the mail. And she goes and she opens the mailbox and there's a letter there from Social Security. And it said, we have underpaid you for the last 3 years. And so next month, you're going to get a significant check. She's like, wow, I can't believe this. And they said, since we've shortchanged you, now you're going to get an increase in what you get each month. And guess how much the increase was? Exactly the amount that would cover the tithe. Exactly. To the penny. Doesn't that give you goosebumps?
And that happened
last Sabbath.
Last Sabbath.
And I'm telling you what.
Let me ask you a question. Can you outgive the Lord?
You cannot outgive the Lord.
I mean, right now, as you're thinking, sacrificially giving to our parking lot, can you really outgive the Lord?
No.
He will give back to you tenfold. The Bible says he will pour out the windows of heaven. I mean, here we are in a bad economy. We really don't have the money. We shouldn't be doing this. We got so many other needs. But we know this is important. And so we know God will bless you.
Amen.
God will give it back to you. I've seen it so many times. I'll never forget a Bible worker. We were out, and he was out working for the Lord. Whenever you put God first, God will bless you. And he's out working for the Lord, and he's one of these committed people, and we're in Oakland. We were doing meetings in Oakland, and he was knocking on doors, and all of a sudden, he feels a gun stuck in his ribs. I want your wallet. And he goes, he pulls out his wallet slowly. He says, you can't have my wallet, but I'll give you my money. Okay, I'll take the money then. And as he's walking away, he goes, by the way, would you like Bible studies? He's that kind of guy. Oh, man, get out of here. Takes off with $130. Here, he's a Bible worker, has no money. He tells the church, and the church comes back and gives him $170 when he gets there that night. So God will give back to, when you put him first, and that's what this is about. There's all kinds of other things we want and we want to do. This is a need for the house of God, and I know God will bless you as you give to him.
Shall we read the last together? There we go. We're going to skip some of this. There we go.
We're all going to stand together. Let's all stand and let's read. Because this is kind of the amen. The crowd did this together. I want you to imagine the whole crowd saying these words together. And they said amen together. So let's do it together. Let's read these verses together. It says,
Oh give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. And save us, O God, our salvation. Gather us together, deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it has been to be here today. And we want to just come and praise you. Thank you for all of your blessings.
Lord, you've been so good to us. And we're thankful for all you've done. We're thankful that you've offered us mercy when we deserve justice, Lord.
So thankful, Father, for grace. So thankful for Jesus today that gave his life for us, that gives us hope, gives us a purpose and a reason to live.
So thankful for the families that you've blessed us with, Lord. So thankful for the times that we can gather together and feel that closeness again, Lord.
So thankful for the church family, Lord. Thank you for the love that we have for each other. And Father, what's on my heart, I just want to lift up Ron and Cindy and
Amen.
The family.
Yes.
as all these people involved are grieving, asking why, Father. May you be near and may you come close, Father.
Yes, Lord, we just want to lift up all who have lost this last year and bring them hope and courage. And Lord, how we long for the day when you're coming back in the clouds and we will join them in the air. And so we will be with you forevermore, Lord, with no more crying or tears or sorrow. We just long for that day. What a Thanksgiving day that will be.
And Father, we don't want to be people that just stand and praise you on Thanksgiving Sabbath. We want to be people that show gratitude to you every day for the blessings that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory into temptation, but deliver us.